Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howell, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
Okay, Jonathan, I want you to put on your Lifeway hat for just a moment. You got it on?
Got it. I don't have a Lifeway hat, but I got it.
Okay, so how long have you been at Lifeway? 7 years?
7.5 years, yeah. Wow.
Wow, that has gone so rapidly.
I've been at Lifeway longer than any job ever before. It's the longest job I've ever had. And I've enjoyed every minute of it, by the way.
Well, I'm glad you did. I mean, I enjoyed most of it there sometimes.
I wasn't the president, so it's a lot easier to enjoy it when you're not the guy taking the bullets.
Oh, well, it's not easy for any of us at some point. So what do you recall? Now, I'm not talking about strategy or anything like that, just memories. What do you recall about your first 90 days at Lifeway? What are some of the things that you can look back on and say, I was there 3 months, and I remember these 3 months.
All right. So the first one was getting lost in the building because we were in the old building downtown.
The buildings.
And they were like a maze. And I kid you not, one day I got lost in the basement of one of the buildings and had to call somebody, and they came down and found me and got me to where I was going because I was absolutely turned around. It was down in the basement in the corridors and stuff. I was so confused on where I was. And totally messed up. That was one of the things I remember.
All right, let me pause for a moment before you go to that one. So if you were in a maze and someone came and found you and saved you, that was a maze grace, right?
Something like that.
Okay, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yes, it was. Well done. The other thing was I was blown away by the caliber of talent that I was surrounded by. So, I knew a few people at Lifeway whenever I got there. And then starting to get to know the other people, I was blown away by the amount of talent and the amount of just the godly work ethic that a lot of them had. So that was really cool. I expected people to be good at what they did, but I did not expect the level that I saw when I got there.
Okay, good. Anything else?
How awesome the president was.
Jonathan, I'm trying to lead you to your first chapel.
Oh yeah, I got to wear jeans. That was awesome. Yeah, I brought jeans to Lifeway on my first day, so that was kind of cool. So all you Lifeway employees
Your first chapel?
Yeah, first day on the job, I changed the dress code at Lifeway to jeans. So
I thought
you're all welcome, all you Lifeway employees watching this or listening to this now.
Yeah, I had nothing to do with it. It's all Jonathan showing up and doing nothing.
That's right.
Yes. So those are three really good memories. The awesome talent, the change of dress code. And the fact that you got lost.
Absolutely lost. I had no idea where I was.
None. That's hilarious. 9 buildings connected by street bridges. It was.
Yeah. I got lost in the warehouse area one time and like literally found a door that went outside and walked around the block to get back into the place. That was later on. That was a couple of years later. But, I down in the like 2OP or whatever it was, or 1OP.
Yes.
Just clueless. So my sense of direction usually is pretty good, like outside, driving, but yes. in the building there, it was a nightmare, man.
One million square feet.
Yeah. Something like that. 1.1, 1.2.
Yeah.
So it's easy to get lost when you have that many square feet. Now, no problems. No problem.
Yes. And there's light everywhere that you go to. Those are your first 90 days. We're going to talk about pastor's first 90 days. And we're going to start off by thanking Vanderblumen for all that they've done.
Yeah, and they can get you to that first 90 days.
That's good.
And they've been serving churches more than 9 years, but they also serve Christian schools, nonprofits, and Christian businesses. So if you're listening, you know of a Christian school, nonprofit, or values-based business that is hiring, as well as churches, you can contact our friends over at Vanderblumen.com. So they can help churches find new pastors, and they can help new pastors find new churches.
Let's talk about these first 90 days of a pastor. And by the way, if you're listening to this and you're in your third year, you're saying, is this irrelevant? Sam is actually going to be doing some written and presentation work, Sam Rainer, on restarting the first 90 days. We'll be talking about that more in the future. That's one of his projects down the road.
I like that.
some of these things don't have to be on the front end. You do have an opportunity for redos.
Yeah, because you go through seasons of ministry.
Yep.
So this would be kind of like the next season of ministry, maybe that first 90 days of whatever that next season of ministry. And you also a lot of times have new people join the staff, and that means things kind of start over in a church, or maybe you relocate, or you build a new building or something like that.
You essentially have a new congregation every 2 or 3 years in most churches as well.
Yeah.
And so you have the opportunity. But you talked about seasons. It reminds me of my favorite turtle song.
Oh, boy.
Most people would say happy together. You know that one?
Yes. Actually,
you know, imagine me and you. I do. Yes, I think yes, about yes, you yes. day and night. It's only right to think about the one you love and hold her tight. So happy together. My favorite one is Seasons by the Turtles. Yeah. It goes like this, Jonathan.
No, we don't have to. But
No. It's really short. It's really okay. It goes, I have learned that love can turn like the seasons. And I know you had to go. You've got your reasons. Still, I wish you'd stay. Tell me why you're going away. And I could go on and on, Jonathan.
Yeah, please don't.
You just mentioned Seasons, and that brought up the Turtle 60 song.
Yes. So 7 updated strategies for the pastor's first 90 days. 6 minutes into the podcast. Let's get to the content here. This first one is very Southern Baptist-y, it sounds. Lots of meetings and meals.
Well, the purpose of the meetings and the meals is not necessarily caloric consumption. That would be more the Southern Baptist type of thing. The purpose of the meetings and meals is to start getting to know people and to really begin to learn about others. I'm going to talk about this a little bit more when we get to point 4 about why this is important. I do know that there's a school of thought out there that you shouldn't be visiting these people, taking time on the front end, because you'll raise expectations. There's a sense of that in pastoral care, where if you start calling on people and showing up at their house and they expect you to. But I'm talking about more of the coffee shop meeting, the informal get together, just beginning to know people, because leadership ultimately is about relationships. And so what you're doing at the onset is you're establishing some positive relationships as you get to know people. And it can be in a meeting, or it can be a meal. That's why we said meetings and meals.
There you go. All right. Number 2, picking low-hanging fruit.
You remember my low-hanging fruit at the Hopewell Baptist Church?
The bathroom.
Yes, we built a bathroom.
Not quite sure what kind of fruit that was, but okay.
It was low-hanging. The church had never had a toilet. Or maybe they had it at the outhouse at some point.
Yeah.
But they didn't have plumbing. They didn't even have a septic tank. Couldn't think of it. They didn't even have that. And when, of course, we built this with a septic tank. There was no city plumbing because there was no city. And we built this out in the country. And it was just a grand celebration. I mean, it was celebrate the John time. It was, we had never had a toilet before. So it's just a great thing. And you say, okay, is that really ministry? Well, it is some low-hanging fruit to get people excited about doing things in the church. We actually brought the community in to help build this addition to the church, which was a bathroom. And so it really began to be something that motivated the church to have an outward focus. What's low-hanging fruit? It may be painting something, painting a physical facility. It may be some type of ministry that has a growth curve that you can start riding on and watching it grow. Find the low-hanging fruit and move forward with that in your first 90 days.
Now, did you preach on, I really hope you took the opportunity and really made this right to preach on love from 1 John that day?
No, I don't think I did.
Oh, you totally missed it. Totally missed the opportunity to preach on 1 John that day.
I could have had a 3-sermon series, 1 sermon from 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John.
Well, but it was their first bathroom, so it would have been 1st John.
That makes more sense. Yeah, we're going to have a 1st John celebration. I like it. I missed an opportunity. Oh. I mean, take me back to the past in 1984, and I'll go back to Hopewell Baptist Church, and we will have a John series. I like it.
Gosh. All right, number 3, voicing hope and encouragement.
Most churches, not all of them, you can look at our data, anywhere from 2/3 to 9 out of 10 churches, Most churches are struggling. All churches have some level of struggle. And when we say offer voice, hope, and encouragement, we're not suggesting that you don't have a prophetic voice. But a prophetic voice does not always have to be a voice of judgment or harshness, especially when you are new. How can you begin to demonstrate the hope of Christ? How can you begin to demonstrate the encouragement of the Holy Spirit? How can you demonstrate the love of God? I don't know if you called that Trinitarian emphasis right there, but what is it that you can do from the pulpit in informal conversations in these first 90 days where you're saying God has a future for us, God has a plan for us, and be serious about it, not some type of false optimism or some type of cheerleading rah-rah, but a true hope to move forward. People cling to hope, and that is really the basis of the Christian faith. It is all based upon the hope of the resurrection. And so if we are not talking about hope in our church, we are not really doing what we should be doing. And it's a prime opportunity in the first 90 days to repeat the message of hope again and again and again.
As a new pastor, that's just a normal thing, it would seem, to be providing hope and encouragement for the church. I mean, I would hope that a pastor that's been there for a while still doing the same thing. But whenever you come in, I mean, you want to provide hope and encouragement and build that positive momentum right out the gate.
I have referred to a fellow pastor, and I know that I have not always been kind in my reference to him, never named him by name. But he to me was the embodiment of everything to do wrong in pastoral ministry.
Wow.
I would watch what he did, and I would just take the opposite approach, and it caused some of the greatest fruit of my ministry. Just okay, and I'm not going to even mention his first name, but if he did this, let's
if
call
he
him
went Jim. Right, you went left.
Always, always.
It's like that episode of Seinfeld with George Costanza just starts doing the opposite of what he would usually do, and everything starts going great for him.
That makes sense. So he got to his church after I got to Isaiah, and I don't know at what point I discovered this. It definitely was within the first 90 days. And so I said, and I'm going to give him a fictitious name, Jim, how's the ministry going? He said, it's tough. I said, why is it tough? He says, well, this is the period of time where I tell them how bad they are and how lousy their ministry is and how the church is just falling apart. This is where I shoot straight with them.
Oh, no.
I said, really? And so I went back. I had a sermon series, and I started shifting it to hope and encouragement because I knew that he was providing discouragement and lack of hope, and I knew I would go in the opposite direction. You know what the surprise was? He lasted at the church a little bit less than 2 years. I never thought he'd make it that long.
Oh,
it was,
man.
It was less than 2 years. But you know, it was an opportunity to offer that hope and encouragement. He did not take that opportunity. So, by the way, we haven't really said this. This is an update podcast. Sometimes we talk about topics that create a lot of interest, and we come back and we say, okay, let's talk about some new things that are happening, some updated information. And so this, if you've heard us talk about the first 90 days before, this information is updated to that. So I wanted to give that clarity.
Yeah. And number four kind of goes back to number one and number three, but yes. Taking a listening posture that goes along with voicing hope and those meetings and meals, take a listening posture.
The specificity I like for number four, and I've heard this from more than one pastor, is to go to people, and obviously everybody you're going to has been at the church longer than you have. So whether it's a person that's been there 40 years, a person that's been there 4 years or 4 months, ask them this question. What are some of the great memories and victories you have at this church? Get them to recall those victories and memories. I made reference before in podcast to Mike Glenn at Brentwood Baptist in Tennessee. And Mike has led the church through significant change. He's only the second pastor at the church, and he's led them through significant change. And his predecessor, whom he has honored greatly, was there 25, 30 years himself. And he has gone to those members during these times of change, and he says, what was it that you remembered during this time with his predecessor? What were some of the greatest memories? And he would tie the change to that. For example, here's one. His predecessor moved the church once. It was Mike had to relocate the church. He went back and to these longstanding members. He said, you remember your steps of faith? You remember how God saw you through this? Well, we have this opportunity again. So when you take this listening posture, ask them, what are some of the great days? And use that as a fulcrum and a foundation for your leading change in the church as well. Great thing to do in the 90 days, put into your memory bank, put into your notes on your smartphone or whatever, some of these great memories so that you can bring out those memories when it's time for change in the future.
Number five, introductions to other pastors. So kind of get to know the people in the area.
Yeah. You remember we did a podcast on six unique additions some churches have made to their worship services.
I do.
It's been a while, but we made that. And we talked about praying for other churches, praying for a different church in the community. Well, one of the ways to start praying for a church in the community is get to know the pastors very well. Pastors tend to be isolated, sometimes competitive. And if you can begin to get to know the pastors and develop a relationship with them, not only will it help you as a pastor to have someone walking alongside you, you'll know specifically for whom you're praying and the church for which you're praying. So start introducing yourself to other pastors. Don't be the lone ranger. Don't be the competition. Be the friend. Be the co-laborer in ministry. And even if that pastor has been around for 30 years and never tried to introduce himself to you at all, take the initiative and go see that pastor. You may not get to all of them, but you can get to some pretty quickly, especially those that are closest proximity to you.
Number six, you begin to praying for other churches in the worship services. Kind of tied to the last one, like you mentioned.
Yeah, this, and I got ahead of myself and I realized that.
It's okay.
Once you get to know these pastors, you then start praying for their churches in the worship services. Now, don't just leave it there. Let them know that you are praying for them, whether you send them a text or an email, or I've seen one church do this. They actually say on their website, we will be praying for this church, and they give the name of the church, and they put it on their Facebook page this week. I think that is so incredible when they're telling the community that you are praying for another church this week. So it happens in the worship service, but you're letting the community know that you love other churches. You're not in competition. You're working together. And this is just critical, crucial, and celebratory for your first 90 days.
Finally, learn the church thoroughly. And I guess you mean talking about maybe the history, talking about learning the people. Like, what are we talking about when we say thoroughly?
First of all, the listening sessions will be key. So, especially with people who've been at the church two decades or more, but even others, that will be key to the process that you begin learning about the church through other people. You see it through other lens. You learn about the church by talking to people in the community. What do you know about the church? You and I have often talked about the horrific example of a pastor talking to a clerk at a grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
She found out he was the pastor and basically said, I am so sorry that you're the pastor of that church. But looking through the lens of the community members, looking at documents, that would be minutes of meetings, even though they can be laborious and boring, it can be very instructive. Please go over your bylaws. You need to know your bylaws. There's usually a history to the bylaws. And once you start talking to someone, you may say, hey, Bob, I saw this provision in the bylaws. I've never seen one of these before. Can you tell me the history of that? Because Brad Wagner is very, very well known for saying most bylaws are built to idiot-proof things. And that should not be the case. Bylaws should be very high level and not necessarily direct specific situations, but most of them do. And so you can say, what is the origin of this? Go back to statistical records. Go back to anything you can. You need to learn the history during these 90 days, because the history is going to be the foundation upon which you move this church forward.
Yeah, and so you know that I'm kind of the SBC nerd here on the podcast.
Kind of the SBC nerd.
That's of the two of us.
That's kind of like saying I may have just eaten a piece of Weber's donuts from Cape Sand Blast. It's reality. It isn't kind of.
Yeah, okay. So
it happened. You are so immersed in SBC everything that I know that I can ask you any question at any time, but I'm not, because I don't want the answer, because you have it. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Okay, anyway. So because of my kind of reputation as the SBC guy, I get a lot of people come to me with questions. And they're like, why are we doing this? You know, it's usually angry questions. Rarely do people ask SBC-related questions where they're just inquisitive or, you know, hey, why do we do this? It's usually they have something, a gripe or complaint, and they, why do we do this? And they're, you know, a bit angry. And a lot of times, it's just a simple answer, or it's because of something that happened here or there, or this happened at this time in history in the SBC, or there were other things that were going on that impacted and made this something happen, or whatever it may be. So when I explain that to them, it usually calms people down. So it's kind of like what you're talking about, learning the church thoroughly. A lot of times I think pastors will, something will happen, or they'll find a rule or a bylaw or something, and it's just like, just they blow up. I can't believe, why in the world would there's usually something that happened to cause, like what you mentioned.
Exactly.
There's a root for something, and it's a lot of times it's easier for us to get mad and blow up about it than it is to just kind of calm down for a second and think, all right, so ask the question, why is this way? What happened to cause this? And who can I find out the story from? Because if you approach it at that, you know, in that direction, and the I'm inquisitive, I'm going to try to find out what's the root of whatever the issue is, you have a lot easier time typically solving the problem than if you go at it guns a-blazing, you know, with a hammer. I was reminded this week, sometimes, you know, not every problem is a nail, but if you treat every problem as a nail with a hammer, then you're going to get yourself in trouble sometimes.
Wow. I have learned three what should have been self-evident realities in what you just said, Jonathan.
What's that?
One is that you're the SBC nerd.
Yes.
Yes, you are. Two, that there are a lot of idiosyncrasies and strange things that have happened and developed that have a story behind them. And three, that they're angry Southern Baptists. Those are three of the most self-evident things I've ever heard, but at least you reminded me that they still exist.
And I love a cliche, too. I love a good metaphor or whatever.
Yes.
So, but.
And always, we thank Western Seminary for being our sponsor today. And I hope these strategies for the first 90 days in the midst of other discussion has been very helpful.
Yeah. And they can help you prepare for the first 90 days and the next 90 days through their Doctorate of Ministry program. It's an advanced degree preparing students for leadership in local churches and denominational service. It's also fully attainable in a hybrid format, which means you don't have to move to Kansas City to pursue the degree. You can learn more at nbts.edu/DMIN. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
This has been an update podcast in the sense that it's a topic that we have covered in the past. We've been doing this for over 500 episodes, and so there's a lot of update information coming in. We'll also be doing an update podcast on Sunday evening services, and that usually draws a lot of information as well. So stay tuned as we continue to give you new and updated information at Rainer on Leadership.
As a church leader, you know how tough marriage can be. There's never enough time to help every couple. There's never enough resources to go around, and we often don't feel like marriage experts. That's why we want to tell you about Woo Marriage, a brand new tool from Lifeway that provides Christ-centered marriage coaching for every couple in your church. Backed by research and design with your church in mind, Woo Marriage provides a plan for your marriage ministry with video courses for all seasons of marriage. Whether you need to prepare couples for marriage, strengthen marriages, or restore relationships, you'll have an affordable, flexible plan right at your fingertips. There are courses for communication, managing finances, handling conflict, and many more. Try it free for 1 month with offer code leadership when you go to woomarriage.com/free trial. That's offer code leadership when you check out at woomarriage.com/free trial. Once again, thanks for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership, a member of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or in your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.